south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, let's start with an update on buying gold and silver down here in Latin America. You know, so many emails come in from me saying, Johnny, I have some gold and silver up in the States. I'd like to bring it down with me, but I know people are having problems getting it through airports and borders these days, even though you should be able to just walk it through, especially since the face value on certain 1 ounce government minted coins is $50. And the smaller coins like half ounce, quarter ounce, etc., have very small dollar values stamped on them compared to the spot price too. Still, people get stressed and can possibly have a severe case of the nerves when walking through airports and borders with the stuff. So if the US government and the Canadian government are stamping out new gold coins that say $50 on them, one should be able to carry and walk up to 200 of those coins across any border without having to report them on that little customs declaration sheet you get every time you fly. You know, where it says on that sheet, if you're carrying instruments worth over $10,000, you must list them here under penalty of confiscation. And by the way, that goes for most foreign countries too, including third world Latin countries. You have to report if you're bringing out more than $10,000 in what they call negotiable instruments. Now, they don't care what you bring into the country as far as negotiable instruments. They want your wealth to be in their country, you know. Why not? That would be to any country's advantage, and why, if you can prove a monthly income from a foreign source, you can skip temporary residency and go right to permanent residency. Yes, countries want you to bring your money in, but not take it out. And if you have a lot of gold and silver, the question always is, what if you decide to carry 50, 100, 200, even 500 ounces of gold out at one time? Well, if you don't write it on the customs form, they'll stop you, question you, and probably take it, and you'll never get it back unless you go to court. And then you still might not. But what if you were dead honest and wrote exactly what you were carrying on the customs form? Well, chances are they'll pull you into a side room and ask you all kinds of questions, because, you know, what a feather in the head it would be for a lowly customs agent to confiscate a big hoard like that. It's a way for a government slug to get promoted, right? Unfortunately, they'll assume you're guilty until proven innocent. And even in the best case, if you're carrying a lot of gold, be prepared to miss your flight and probably call your lawyer. So, although you've always, at least till now, have had a good case, a very good case, in claiming that gold and silver coins, not bullion now, should pass through as the face value that's stamped right on them. For example, the gold coins from the US and Canada that have a dollar monetary value stamped right on them, though really a small fraction of the spot price you could sell them for at the moment. Still, for example, if the US and Canadian government want to stamp 1 ounce gold coins at $50 that way, that should technically be the declared value as you bring them through borders, even though the spot price is well over a grand. So what then if you get pulled aside at an airport and the customs agent tries to assess the value of your gold at today's spot price? Now, I don't know of anyone who's actually been in that pickle yet, but the day is coming. We're going to see that, I'm sure. And believe me, you don't want to be the one they pull that on. You don't want to be the test case. I'm certain it won't be long now before stories like that start trickling in. As for my recommendation, take it or leave it, I'd say the most you'd want to walk through a border, talking about gold now, is maybe 10 ounces. And to be safe, do put on that customs form. You have coins with a face value of $500. I must emphasize here, I wouldn't put gold on that form. I would just say coins. Then you're covered. And how do I know that? Well, I've done it. In fact, a number of times, and no one's ever messed with me. Carry them in a coin roll and stick them in a little plastic tray when I'm walking through the metal detector, and no one ever said a thing, ever. Now, some time ago, I was with a guy who was carrying an awful lot of gold and platinum, a mix of coins, ingots, and bullion. He flew out with it from the States to Europe through a number of countries. He had it in a small fishing tackle box that never left his side. Didn't even have a lock on it. A total of over 300 ounces. And no one at customs at any of those airports ever blinked. I was there. I saw it. But that was before 9/11. Back then, customs guys were friendly. Today, overly suspicious. So bottom line, if you have a lot of gold and silver up in the States, I'd say your safest bet is to liquidate all your silver. It's way too heavy to bring down. And if you're coming to Latin America and not planning on returning to the States, liquidate all of your gold except maybe 10 ounces and make sure those ounces are U.S. and or Canadian coins because they have the dollar figure stamped on them. And I'd advise not to bring any gold bullion down, you know, ingots and stuff. Because then, customs and those TSA pinheads can hold you up and screw around with you as much as they want. If you have bullion and not coins, you can't very well say you're going to a coin show. Which again is why you should always bring down your gold in coin. Then, if quizzed, it makes sense to say you're doing the rounds at the coin shows. So, I repeat, stick with gold coins that have a dollar value stamped on them from the US or Canada. That said, there are some new developments on the gold and precious metal front here in Latin America. People always ask me where they can buy gold and precious metals down here. They want to know if they can buy this stuff the same way they can buy it in the States at pawn shops and on the net. Well, just this week, I've been checking around in a couple of Latin American countries to find where you can actually go down to a physical place and buy some gold and silver and coin or ingot, just like you can up in the States, and here's what I found. First of all, I investigated 6 Latin countries, Costa Rica, Guatemala, Mexico, Panama, Colombia, and Brazil. And here's what I found. Except for Brazil, those other 5 Latin countries have at least a handful of places in their larger cities that buy and sell gold and silver and platinum, etc., including junk jewelry and precious metal bars and coins. And most all these places have a website, too. In fact, you can find some of them on my favorite Latin buy and sell website, OLX.com. Of course, remember that site's all in Spanish. Now, note that throughout Latin America, there's hardly any market for the locals to buy gold, silver, coins, and bars and ingots. However, since every Latin country once was on the gold or silver standard, there is a somewhat lively numismatic group of individuals who are into coin collecting. So these same shops that handle jewelry and handle collectible coins too. A good percentage of them do anyway. Now, remember, Peru and Mexico were huge suppliers of gold and silver during the colonial days. In fact, that's why Columbus and his boys came to rape and pillage in the name of King, Country, Jesus, and Gold. In fact, it's been claimed that half of the world's gold and silver that exists today came from Central and South America, which is why it was so easy and profitable for Latin countries to produce their own gold and silver coins for hundreds of years. In fact, I run into Latins all the time, mostly a little bit wealthier Latins, who have rings or pendants or bracelets that have beautiful old gold and silver coins and such in settings. And they're not any coins that you and I would recognize. They're from Latin countries, minted many decades ago, but there are a lot of them still around. So, like I said, there's a pretty active numismatic society throughout Latin America specializing in these old gold and silver relics. And many of these places are now buying and selling some of the more popular gold, silver, and platinum and palladium ingots, the common ones we all know that are minted from around the world. Okay, so I checked some of these different websites out in those 6 countries I mentioned. And they're all in Spanish, of course. And I visited a few hole-in-the-wall jewelry shops that buy and sell gold, too. And here's what I discovered. I was theoretically looking to buy a 1-ounce gold Canadian maple leaf, a 1-ounce gold American Eagle, and a 1-ounce Chinese Panda. And for those of you listeners who aren't into that, those are 3 very, very common and well-known and easily identified gold denominations, which is exactly what you want to have. You want to be able to walk into a jewelry store or some kind of market, and when you show the person behind the window of that thing, they're going to recognize it immediately and know that it's real and what its value is. So first, to start this analysis, I went to a number of gold and silver bullion dealers on the internet that operate out of the States, and I found out on that day in question, I could buy any one of those 3 1-ounce gold coins for $1,325 to $1,375. That was the spread. Now, we're talking about U.S. bullion dealers. You can order on the internet, and they'll ship it right to your house if you're in the States and Canada. And I checked with a few well-known U.S. pawn shops, too, and their prices were in the same range, though slightly higher by about $5 to $15. No big deal. So what I'm saying is if I was sitting in Cleveland that day and I wanted to buy a 1 ounce gold panda, a 1 ounce gold eagle from the States, or a 1 ounce maple leaf from Canada, I could order it from an internet company in the States and pay anywhere from $1,325 to $1,375. Or go down to my local friendly pawn shop and pay $5 to $15 more. Now remember, if you buy any gold, silver, or precious metal coins in the States, you're going to get on a government list. The seller, the internet company or pawn shop, will give up your name, your social security, the amount of your purchase and all that. You know, that is the frickin' law in the States now. And why is that? Well, all the better to track and confiscate your stuff in the future, my friend. Yep, if you remember, there's an IRS form, 8300, you have to use if you're buying bullion or coins, and form 1099B if you're selling bullion or coins. And that stuff, you know, is not at all on the menu here in Latin America. No such reporting requirements exist down here in any Latin country. Which makes that reason number 2476 why it's a very, very good idea to get that Plan B going and come on down. At least get something going down here in Latin America as you prepare for the worst up where you live. But I digress as usual. However, up in the States, there are some interesting and cool exceptions to those reporting requirements. Actually, it's a bit complicated. I'm not going to go over it right now. It'll take too long. But if you want to know exactly what metals purchases you have to report and those you can buy and sell and get around that requirement, just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll send you a link to an article that tells all. And of course, I'll be talking about that in much more detail at my January 2017 Expat Insider Seminar in Central America. By the way, this show first goes out on October 23rd, and that means you've only got one more week to sign up for this seminar and still get the early bird discount rate. Remember, if you sign up by November 1st, you get a $500 discount per person. That's already built into the price on the sign-up page at www.thenewexpat.com. Once there, of course, you click on Johnny's 2017 seminar link at the top of the page to find out all about it. Now, I'm more than three quarters filled at that seminar, but there are some spots left, so don't procrastinate and get the discount. But where were we? Oh yeah, talking about buying gold down here in Latin America. Anyway, like I said, I recommend if you have silver, liquidate it all up in the States. And if you have gold coins, you could walk up to 10 ounces through without much trouble at all. Like I said, I've done it a number of times. However, if you have a lot more than that, I suggest, again, liquidating. And since there is a premium on gold coins right now, you'll probably get the spot price or even a little better. Then when you get down here to Latin America, as many listeners are wondering, where can you buy that gold or silver again? Well, like I said, I just checked out six countries. And with the gold spot price today being at around $1,290, and U.S. gold dealers selling 1 ounce Cougarans, Pandas, and U.S. 1 ounce Eagles from $1,325 to $1,375, which is about a 3 to 6% markup on the spot price. Well, as it turns out, in all those Latin countries I just mentioned, except Brazil, you can buy those same coins for around $1,400, which comes in around an 8% markup over spot. So you've got a 3 to 5% markup if you buy them in the States and an 8% if you buy them down here in Latin America. That's the situation right now. And you'll have to decide for yourself which way you're going to go on that. Personally, I wouldn't quibble about a few points because there's huge upside with gold and silver and very little downside, but you knew that already, right? Now again, these gold and silver coin and bullion dealers down here have their websites in Spanish, so you'll have to maneuver your way around that too. So then, what about Brazil? Well, you can buy gold and silver and metals there, but they'll tax the living crap out of you, meaning retail prices can be more than 50% of spot price. Did you know Brazil and Argentina have some of the highest world gold prices? In fact, one guy from Argentina writes me that they're charging $1,700 for the latest iPhone. Which is why Brazilians and Argentinos with money, who have the means to fly in and out of the country once in a while, smuggle in as many iPhone and Android products as they possibly can. Turns out the grand black market in electronics is huge in both those countries. By the way, in 2013, President Fernandez of Argentina banned gold sales completely in that country. Man, now that sucks, huh? And though restrictions have been lifted somewhat, if you enter Argentina, you have to report all the gold you have on you. Now, I don't know if that includes jewelry, but all you have to do is check out the Argentine government website where it says customs currency, airport tax regulations, etc. You'll see right there it says gold must be declared. Doesn't say anything about silver, platinum, or palladium, though. Yet another reason to cross Argentina off your expat list. What is Doug Casey thinking, huh? By the way, I mentioned Brazil's crazy and medieval tax codes, which are even worse than the U.S., if that could be possible. No one, not even professional tax accountants in that country, can understand even a fraction of it. Sound familiar? But they will tell you that Brazil has an average 60% import tax on electronics items. So, although Argentina's electronics items import tax is much lower, they nickel and dime me to death on other little auxiliary taxes. So in the end, it's about the same, 60%, just like Brazil. That said, if you need any more good reasons why you should be crossing Brazil and Argentina off your Plan B expat list, just let me know and I'll give you some more bad news about those two countries. Again, my apologies to Doug Casey and his elite rich man's group, who continuously bombard people with the idea of living in a million-dollar expat subdivision in Argentina. But you know, if you're rich, you can live anywhere you want and the prices won't bother you. Or maybe they will. Since counting pennies is a way some people get rich. In fact, as a child, I remember my German mother saying, "Johnny, if you watch your pennies, they will turn into dollars." Which begs the question, how many of you listeners out there consider yourself rich, dollar-wise? I'd say maybe 5, 10% at most. And the rest of us, well, we do have a budget and have to watch our expenses, right? By the way, expat Eddie and I had a discussion like that not so long ago. He's nouveau riche, worth a few million now, but still wears pieces from his old wardrobe. The old Indiana Jones bomber jacket that his girlfriend hates so much. Nope, money hasn't changed expat Eddie, that's for sure. And I said, "Eddie, now that you can live anywhere in the world you want and not really care about the prices, where would be your picks?" And Eddie said, "Well, I'm not that motivated to move. I like it exactly where I'm living now. But if I had the money I have now and was starting from scratch, I'd still live in the Altiplano in Central America. And maybe, just maybe, I'd have a place somewhere in South America, maybe Chile, Argentina. Because I used to be a snow skier," he said, "and down there they've got the Four Seasons. But," he said, "I can only take the snow and the cold a couple of weeks a year. That'd be enough." So Eddie, who could afford to live anywhere, said he'd do pretty much what he's doing right now. Then he added, "Johnny, to tell you the truth, I never want to step foot in the U.S. again. But my girlfriend keeps pushing. She wants to go to Nueva York and Orlando and Miami. And Johnny, you know what? I'm running out of excuses." Seems like a common gringo refrain down here in Latin America. Gringo expats, especially long-term gringo expats, just don't go back unless they absolutely have to. Funerals, business, legal stuff, those are about the only good reasons long-term gringos have for going back to Los Estados. Well, as one cynical expat put it, the land of the freaks and the home of the slaves. Tax slaves, that is. So what would you do if you had all the money in the world? And I know most of us aren't in that position. Instead, we're actively looking for that plan B to preserve our assets and our lifestyles. By the way, you know, I got a lot of emails from people saying they'd absolutely love to come to one of my expat insider seminars. And, you know, as things get progressively worse up in the first world, I don't know how long I can keep doing these things. In fact, after the election, all bets are off. If Hillary wins, we can expect more loss of freedoms and ever more tightening of the screws. And if Trump wins, chaos will certainly ensue. Though the can will get kicked down the road a couple more months, I'm sure. So yes, the freight train is heading towards the cliff, so it doesn't really matter who gets in. There'll be a catastrophic tipping point, and it'll be like hitting the societal reset button. The question is, are you ready? Do you have your plan B going? Hope you do. The clock is ticking, though. Okay, moving on. I've had some emails lately from people who are avid bikers. That would be bicyclists. And to call them avid would be an understatement, since some of these emailers are talking about bringing down their $3,000 to $5,000 bicycles. So, is that a good idea? Is that wise? Well, if that's what you're into, though there are a few things you should know. Anyway, these listeners, they're wondering how safe it is to bike and if there are nice delineated bike trails like up in the States. And more to the point, do they have first world style bicycle shops and repair places? Cycling clubs to join and such? First, let's talk about whether you should bring that expensive bike down. I say yes, by all means, disassemble it, box it up, and bring it down with you when you fly. Bring it through as an extra piece of luggage. Don't ship it. At the most, it'll only cost you $50 as a third or fourth bag. Now, about exotic bike parts and bike shops, etc. Yes, they've got all that. I've seen any number of high-end bike shops, and I really don't know how they stay in business. I never see anyone buying anything there. Who knows, with $300 a month labor down here, maybe they only need to sell one of those $3,000 bikes a month to make their nut. But it's true, you can get all the high-end brands down here and the parts. Hey, not my cup of tea. I have a standard cheapo bike that I paid around $100 for new, made down here in Latin America. You know, practically every Latin country has its own bike manufacturing plant or two with its own local brand name. You know, when things are made or produced within a Latin country, they always stick the word nacional after it. So, you know, it wasn't imported, but made or produced locally. In other words, when you see a bike for sale on OLX or wherever, and it says Bicicleta Nacional, that means it's a local bike made in a local factory. Same with food. For example, if you see Aguacate Nacional, that means it's an avocado that was produced within the country. By the way, it's a good thing that bikes are made here in Latin America. For one thing, they're very inexpensive compared to the imports. Of course, down here, as in the rest of the world, bikes do get ripped off a lot. Yep, you'll have to be vigilant. So where do you put a bike that's worth $3,000 to $5,000? Well, if I had one, I'd build a wing in my house for it. Now, as far as bike trails and marked off bike paths, yes, they're all over the place here in Latin America, especially in wealthy high-end suburbs. Which, by the way, is about the only place you'll ever see a bike on one of those trails. None of the locals really respect the space marked off by the lines. In fact, they don't even know why they're there. The population being totally unused to seeing marked off bike trails. That stuff just didn't exist down here 3 or 4 years ago. So again, it's a lag time thing coming directly from the first world. Some local gringo wannabe politician or bigwig trying to spiff up and gringoize his neighborhood, whatever. And yes, the high-end bike stores sell bike paraphernalia and gaudy fluorescent biking clothes. And the people who buy that stuff stand out like sore thumbs, and everyone knows they have money. It's like wearing expensive jewelry. And to them, that's the point. That's just how they want to come off. Which is counter to one of our prime expat rules for living down here. You should try to blend in, not stick out. So if you're out on a Sunday, which is everyone's day off, and you'll see bike riders in groups like that, in their spiffy first world uniforms, you'll instantly be able to spot the color-coordinated gringo wannabes. So in a nutshell, yes, they have bikes, bikes of all kinds, and bike trails and bike paths that no one respects. In fact, I've seen a number of these marked off bike trails in big cities that were eventually crowded out and taken over by street vendors in their little kiosks. Yep, the low-end vendors eventually moved in because there were virtually no bikes on the bike trail to show them what those delineated lines were even for. But note, if you live in a gated, guarded community, you'll have plenty of nice scenic biking. By the way, there are always sanctioned bicycle racing events a couple times a year where they block off roads and piss off all the people in cars. Worse yet, on weekends in nice neighborhoods, you just might spot a car full of bodyguards trailing a pretentious jerk or two decked out in matching fluorescents on their $3,000 bikes. Again, infuriating people in cars who are trying to get somewhere. Now, speaking of the general public, the average middle class or lower middle class Latin family, of course, have some kids, and they always want bikes. But unfortunately, here in Latin America, not all parents can afford them. In fact, as it turns out, only about 1 in 4 Latin kids has had a bike. When you think about it, it's kind of sad. And why I think it's a great idea for you gringos who have cleaning ladies and maintenance guys and such. When you're thinking of Christmas and birthdays and gift giving, you really can't do better or create more pleasure than to give a poor kid a bike. Because you see, it's those cleaning ladies and maintenance guys who have families of kids that can't afford it. Even a used, rusted, kind of mangled little bike is well appreciated in poor neighborhoods. By the way, there are used bikes for sale all over the place here too. And in fact, there are a lot of small little neighborhood bike repair shops that don't cater at all to the fluorescent matching tights, graphite frame, high-end biking crowd. Those little scruffy, hole-in-the-wall bike repair shops? Well, they exist so the average guy can keep his bike patched together so that it can get handed down to every last member of the family and maybe the grandkids too. Because you see, bikes down here are patched and welded and duct taped. They're reinforced with Bondo and chicken wire. The same treatment middle-class Latins give their motorcycles and their cars. You see, in Latin society, people don't throw things away. Everything's got 9 lives. So bottom line, if you want to give a gift that keeps on giving, give one of the kids in the neighborhood a bike. And while you're at it, throw in a nice, sturdy bike lock, too, because if not, the thing will get stolen. All right, changing gears again. People are asking about Netflix here in Latin America. Yep, you can get it. You just subscribe as usual. In fact, I just spoke to a Latin dentist the other day, and he says he has it and pays around 10 bucks a month. Does that sound right? I don't know. I don't subscribe. That said, anything you can get on the internet up in the States, you can get down here, too. Although sometimes when you're doing searches, you'll get a little pop-up window that says, this program download or video is not available in the country that you're originating from. Well, you should never let that stop you from achieving your goal. The solution? Just get an IP changer. A lot of free ones out there, too. And once you've hooked up with an IP changer, they'll actually let you pick the country you want your IP address to appear to be coming from. So if you get blocked with a pop-up window like that, just do a search on your browser for IP changers. Click in, select your country, and redo your search. In fact, I'd say I probably get one of those messages at least once a week. But that never stops me. I have an IP changer. Well, it's that time again. We're getting towards the end of the show. Hey, you know, so many listeners these days are thinking about and talking about their plan B. By the way, how far along are you? Of course, a lot of people are on the fence, and others, they just can't swing coming down to one of my expat insider seminars, not right now anyway. Could be the money, could be just can't get the time off work or break away from that treadmill, whatever. Perhaps you can't get away, not even for a week. But all is not lost. You can still move forward with your plan B right from where you are by going to www.expatplanb.com, where you'll be able to check out my new Expat Essentials course. There's 35 videos with over 9 hours of content, all designed to help you get your plan B rolling from right up there in the States. You know, people have been asking me to put something like this together for a long, long time. And finally, here it is. So just go to www.expatplanb.com. That's where you'll be able to check out my 3 videos explaining everything you need to know about the program. And finally, don't forget to go to my YouTube channel. That's YouTube/TheExpatFiles, all one word. It's where you'll get to see the slides and the photos that go along with the show. Do subscribe. It's free.
South of the border.
This is The Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my 3 videos. See ya. Nos vemos.